Baltimore First Assembly welcome to Wade and Connie Urban today.
Wade wanted me to tell you, because of your support of our ministry, some of the things that we're doing that the COVID hasn't affected. First, I want to tell you, we felt such a kinship with Pastor Kane ever since that trip to the hospital. And my aunt died shortly afterwards. She had had a brain injury and had been in a coma. And the way that he treated all of us family, and how he was up at the hospital constantly, and just the total love that he showed, we felt very close to him after that. The Lord has been leading us. Actually, when we got the message from Pastor that the church was going to support our ministry, what he didn't know is at the beginning of this year, the Lord spoke to Wade, and there had been a church that for years had been supporting Restoration Ministries, and they have a vision of going in a new direction, and Wade felt led to tell them not to send it to Restoration Ministries, but to put their donation toward that. And, you know, nobody is our source, and so getting rid of that, even though that was a chunk out of what Restoration Ministries used. We know to obey is better than to sacrifice. And so here we get this first assembly saying, we feel led, and praise the Lord.
Amen.
We don't take that lightly. We haven't traveled as much this year, obviously, as we normally do. We hope we can have another overseas trip in the future. We don't know what the future holds, but the Lord does. But this quarantine atmosphere has opened up some new areas for us, because we've learned how to use some things online, and that's hard for us. But during the quarantine, I finished and had released my third children's book. That's the only new book that's here. All of the others are back there. I also am getting ready to finish up a book that I've worked on, it seems like, forever. And I think the Lord's leading me to have that released as just an e-book. Again, that's new territory for us. It's about our destinies. And on the way to the destiny, the enemies that come against us. And it's based on David's life, David's experiences. So I will keep you updated on that. During this time, we also have had prayer time on Facebook, and some of you watch that faithfully. We're still doing that on Friday nights at 7 o'clock on Facebook, but we also still have our streaming on Monday nights from Facebook, and we now are meeting with some other prayer warriors there on Facebook. That's a powerful time. That's at 7 o'clock also. But something the Lord had put on my heart a couple of years ago was to start some discipleship training. And I just didn't know how I could do it, because we traveled. We were gone someplace. Every month we went someplace and stayed for a while. And I thought, Lord, how can I do this? And so this couple at church said they would love to teach that. So I trained them and they started. And then they both had serious health conditions and had to stop. So back maybe a year ago, the Lord started saying it to me again. Discipleship class, discipleship class, discipleship class. And so I put it out there. And the first night when I started it last February, I think 20 people showed up that night. That just shows you the hunger for people. But then here comes the COVID. And so I learned how to use Zoom. So we ended up, we had a student from Ireland and a student from Uganda who came to the discipleship class, and that was such a blessing. We're starting another one on the 21st of September. This will be the same teaching, but just a new round, and so I've had people sign up, but I'm telling you this, so if any of you would like to participate on Zoom, it's Monday nights at 6, and we have a sign-up sheet in the back for some of our mailings. Every other month, we send out our newsletters, and twice a year, we send out the updates to the Dreams Glossary. If you're a dreamer and you don't get that, it's a good resource. I have people all the time saying, would you send me another one? I can't find mine, and I use it all the time. It's a good resource, and I update that generally when I'm doing my devotions and I find a new symbol. Most of the symbols in that glossary are from the Word. You can't beat that. I also have something that I send out now. The Lord put on my heart a while back to start a scriptural prayer list. So anytime I've come across a scripture that I thought, somebody could claim that for back problems, somebody could claim that for memory loss, I've put it on that list. And so if you want that, there's a place for you to sign up. There's a place for you to check what you'd like to be sent to you. Also, Wade uses an outline on Mondays, so if you would like those outlines, we send those out as needed. Also, the thing that we're really excited about, and I would like for Wade to tell you the countries where the Lord has been taking us. Higher Praise had a building given to them a few years ago. it was the art house in Connersville, so it was for crafts and arts, and it was a drain on the church. And so Pastor said last fall that he was going to try to sell that or figure out something else. So it's been renovated. It's now called the Higher Praise Resource Center. There are three ministries that are working out of that. One is Restoration Ministries. One is Higher Praise. The third one is called Global Awakening Worldwide Ministry. Starting in October, we're going to begin doing several teaching series and put them on YouTube and places like that so that around the world, people can get access to teachings on Holy Spirit, to teachings on different subjects. But one thing we're also going to do is to do classes for leaders, to teach leaders. And those will be classes that will have a time period. So we're really excited about that. Already, we have connections with places in three countries. Wade will tell you those. But really, this is something that the Lord has put on our heart now for a while, and we're so excited about it. I'm just really glad that nothing like COVID matters to getting the Lord's work done. And what He wants from us is obedience. When He says, do it this way, He wants us to obey. When He says, I have this new thing I want you to step into, I'm not one for change. But when the Lord says change, you best be going, because you're going to be left behind. Or what we've found out, He can take you there the easy way or the hard way. And the hard way just ain't no fun, is it?
Amen. So, yes, I want to just continue with what Connie was saying. We have three ministries that are in our resource center, and I'm excited about, and your pastor was a part of our initial meetings on this. And we have a fellowship now that's called Global Awakening that we're inviting other ministries to become a part of. But we have contacts in Guatemala. In Guatemala City, the entire school system has opened the doors for the gospel to come in and preach that gospel to 50,000 Guatemalan students in Guatemala City. And that's been open to us, and we're in the process of trying to get Bibles put together to take down there. And they want us to come in to every school and preach to them down there. The next one is in Armenia. And Armenia is a Christian nation that is situated right beside Iran and Turkey. And they have been putting out missionaries for decades, hundreds and hundreds of years. And we have a group there that have trained missionaries to go into both Turkey and into Iran. And when they come into that training, they come in with martyr written across their heads. Because if they're caught, and they know that, they know that. And we're associated with that ministry, and it is awesome. I can't wait to get over there to meet these people. I need the anointing on their lives. But we're hoping to be able to impart what we have to them as well. And so they welcome this. The third one, and we'll probably be tying in with Pastor Chris's brother as well, but we have a man who was a missionary there by the name of Christopher Gregory, and his wife is Chinese. He taught in a university, and he finally got out before this COVID thing really hit over there. But he was a missionary and followed around all the time. And what we intend to do there is to produce Mandarin Bibles on those little things that go in cell phones. Everyone in China has a cell phone. And so this can be passed from one person to another. You can't take Bibles in there. That's out. But we can get these in. I think, and this isn't from the Lord, this is just from Wade and my experience, you're going to see China turn around. And when it does, our nets have to be prepared. We have to be ready for this. There's going to be a revolution in China. They've had enough of that Chinese Communist Party. And it is so strong, and the Lord's going to take care of that. We're going to see that happen. I think I'm going to see that in my lifetime. I truly believe this, that there's going to be such a turnaround, and I believe the Chinese are going to lead a worldwide revival. That's what the Lord's telling me right now. They're going to be the leader in a worldwide revival that will be like none other. They have been under subjection for so long that it's coming forth. It's coming forth. Glory to God. Be interceding for that. How many of you, I'll talk to my senior gentleman here, have you ever seen any time in your life of 95 years like we've been living through? No. Uncertain times. How many would agree? Uncertain times. And it kind of just puts a question mark on your mind. I was praying about you all yesterday, and the Lord kind of gave me a picture. I was a pugilist when I was growing up, a boxer. And if you've ever had your bell rung, you know, there's different colors that you see. If you've been a football player and you've had your bell rung, there's yellow, there's red, and then black, and that's when they carry you off the field. But this was like a yellow, where you're getting a standing eight count. And you're a little rattled and you're confused, but you know that the enemy is going to try to come and take you out immediately because of the condition you're in. And that's how the Lord kind of described things in the church. You know you had to do something, but there was this confusion, this question mark. During these times, uncertain times, and you all are blessed because you have a steady hand. You have someone who is anchored in the Word. Right now, there are many churches, many, many, that don't have a steady hand. They don't know which way to go because the leadership does not know which way to go. They're in total confusion. And that was the very intent of this thing, is to create confusion because of a spirit of fear that has been released. Fear causes confusion. So what I want to do this morning is just reinforce the stability that you all already have. Is that okay? And I want to give you just one scripture today, and I want to kind of break this scripture apart, but I want you to be firmly planted in the foundation of truth. How many of you know if you don't have a firm foundation, anything you try to do is going to fall over pretty quickly? Well, there's two foundational truths. Number one, God is good all the time. And the enemy is bad all the time. So I want to talk about in Christ today. Everybody say that with me. In Christ. And I'm going to read from Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. You all are very familiar with this. And here it goes. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but it is Christ who liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of, everybody say of, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Some translations say by faith in God, but the King James says the faith of God, and I like that better, much better. So I want you to break this apart as we go along here this morning. But I want us to reimagine this gospel. I think the old idea too many have come to understand needs to be tweaked a little bit because it's time to understand that we don't have a gospel of delay and distance. We don't have a destination gospel. We have a right here and right now gospel. There's too many that think the gospel, they prayed the right prayer, somebody got a headlock on them and say this prayer after me, and now they signed the paper, they shook the preacher's hand, and now they have a future home in heaven, and I'll hang on till you get there. And every Sunday night, we have a rededication service because I know you're going to fail come Monday. Has anybody been there, gone through that mess? I guess you could call that good news to have a future. That's wonderful. But I got better news, much better news. The law is over. Let me tell you, the law is over, fulfilled in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And there's one phrase in the New Covenant that Paul wrote time and time again, and that phrase is in Christ. Everybody say that with me. In Christ. To be in Christ is so much more than textbook information about an historical Jesus. Many truly believe that's all there is today. Many believers, really, that's all they have is a historical Jesus. They've trivialized the incarnation. There's two events in human history that eclipse all of other history. The incarnation, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. Well, the spirit of religion and the world system has taken them both and trivialized them. The incarnation now, in people's minds, is nothing more than a fat man in a red suit in a sleigh with a bunch of presents carried by a flying reindeer. And it's even worse for the resurrection. You've got a bunny who lays eggs with candy in them. Think of that. They've been trivialized. And sometimes I think the church has kind of gone along with that. I mean, you know, it's great to have, but wait a minute. These two events are the climactic aspects of history, human history. The incarnation, God becoming you and me. That blows my mind. God's Son becoming a human. I mean, altogether human. He wasn't God wearing a mask. He became human. He experienced every human emotion possible. He had human thoughts, human imaginations, human attitudes and behavior. He ran a business. He had a carpentry business. He had to deal with customers who wouldn't pay him. He had to pay taxes. He had to listen to all the complaining. He got blisters. Jesus was God choosing. Listen to me. God himself in Jesus chose to live within the dimensions of all human limitation and still demonstrate to us, demonstrate as our example of how to live a spirit-filled life. He's our model. every possibility of how to really live in Holy Spirit, he shows. And more than that, the incarnation means that we have an organic relationship with Jesus because we have the same Holy Spirit that he had. Same Holy Spirit. Everybody say, same Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, who is God, living inside of us, gives the knowledge that Jesus is alive within us. And that we are in seamless union with God right here and right now. Now, this means that his thinking becomes our thinking. I'm giving you just foundational truth. I want you to be solid. You know, a great storm, when it comes, often we have warning of it, but we had no warning of this. When this came, we were unprepared for it, totally. And it shook us up, and it's still shaking some people up. And I believe that right now we're in the eye of the storm. And if we don't prepare for the second half of this thing, then it may be the end. So we have to be solid. We have to be firmly planted in the truth of God's word because we're going to hear everything and we're going to see everything but the truth. The deceitfulness that's going on right now is incredible from the top down. And so we have to be firmly planted in truth. So that's what I'm telling you today. I want you firmly planted in truth so you'll not be moved. So you'll be able to withstand and stand in that evil day. Because it is coming. And I don't believe the second half of this storm is going to be anywhere like the first half. They're just getting warmed up, folks. The enemy's just getting warmed up. We're going to find out what real persecution is in this country that's never even tasted it. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? The word for temple there is the word naos, N-A-O-S. And the word naos means the holy of holies. Do you remember the tabernacle in the wilderness that had three sections? You had the outer court, the holy place, and then the very presence of God within the holy of holies, where the Ark of the Covenant, where you had the mercy seat and the wings of the cherubim over, and the very glory of God. That blue flame of his presence was over the mercy seat. That's who you are. You're the holy of holies. You're the dwelling place of God. His glory resides in you. Part of our problem is we don't understand this. You know, we like to think about, I've heard this preached so often, ad nauseum. John 14:2, the old Mississippi cotton field idea. In my Father's house are many mansions. Ooh, he's a carpenter. I know he's sawing away on my mansion. You know, the word is dwelling place. Same word for dwelling place as mansion. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. How many know you're the mansion? You're the dwelling place. He went to the cross to prepare this place. Then he went to the tomb. Then he went to the right hand of the Father, and you were in him all the way. You're in him all the way. Glory to God. My goodness. You're his dwelling place. You're his mansion. And this isn't just reserved for a few special people. You understand this, don't you? This is God's gift to mankind, to humanity. Jesus' finished work. And the finished work includes his death, his burial, his resurrection, his exaltation, his ascension to the right hand of the Father, and sending of Holy Spirit into us is his finished work. The life of Holy Spirit in you is his finished work. But in this finished work, you have to understand now that he reversed what Adam caused. It's not hard for people to think, well, now, that Adam, that rascal, he brought sin into the earth, into this environment. And everyone who's born, we're born out of Adam's loins into sin. But what's hard for people, particularly religious people, is that with the finished work of Jesus Christ, he reversed everything. He put death to death. You remember John the Revelator? He saw Jesus and he fell dead like he was dead. And Jesus said, I'm alive. I was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore. Behold, look, with wide-eyed, open-mouth astonishment, that I'm alive forevermore. And guess what, John? I hold the keys of what? Death and hell. Whoa. Now, wait a minute. What's that mean? Stand back. Take all your religious thinking. Throw it out of the way. If Jesus has the keys, who owns that place? Hello? Love owns hell. Then I ought to change some theology right there. The problem is, he did this for all of mankind. But there's so many out there who are still lost and in darkness, they don't know what's been done for them. Do we have a job to do or not? You know, in our resource center there in Connersville, we got this big, huge map of the world. And Brother Russell says, Wade, you understand that 3.1 billion people alive today have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's with a B, not an M. 3.1 billion people have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ when this was all done for them. Do we have some work to do or what? If you're looking for a ministry, just think about that. How many of your neighbors have only heard the name of Jesus as a swear word? How many in the local high school? How many of those kids? Seriously, I'm being serious now. I asked a teacher at Connersville, as Pastor knows very well, you've got a church on every corner and three in between, and next week there'll be three more because somebody got mad and is going to start their own church. I asked a high school teacher there, percentage-wise, how many of those kids in your class have never heard the name of Jesus other than as a swear word? Without hesitation, at least 70% in Connersville, Indiana, which is no different than Crawfordsville. Do I have to really go on with this? You've got a ministry, folks. And the ministry isn't just coming in here on Sunday morning, sitting down in a nice padded seat and putting your dollar in the collection plate. That's not it. It is Christ in you. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And he, that is the Father, made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He became sin on that cross. Galatians 3:13 to 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He became the curse, and he became sin. So, what does that mean? That means that in your life, there should be no more guilt, there should be no more shame, there should be no more condemnation, there should be no more sin consciousness, with that attitude, that religious, well, Brother Wade, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, without, you've been made the righteousness of God and you've been declared innocent. Right. No matter what you've done, you've been declared innocent in the Father's eyes because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And once you understand who he is and who now you are, then your behavior will automatically change. There's no list of rules that's going to make that happen, that the law's gone. Jesus Christ was not a second Moses. He didn't give you a list of commands other than love others as I have loved you. Listen, behavior only changes when thinking changes. Proverbs 23:7, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think you're a sinner, you're going to be a sinner. But if you begin to think and understand the finished work of Jesus Christ, that you've been made the righteousness of God. Oh, do you understand what righteousness really means? It means that there is such a relationship between two parties that they're equal in each other's lives with no guilt, shame, nor condemnation. But there's an equality there in righteousness. That's God saying you're righteous with him. 1 John 3:1. Behold, again, the word behold. Look with wide-eyed, open-mouthed astonishment. What manner of love, what foreign kind of love is this that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the sons of God? And I'll throw in daughters, ladies. You're in the family. Hey, the world doesn't know it because it didn't know him. But that's who you are. I want you to know this today. I want you to be firmly affixed in this thing. Boom, you're in concrete, right? You're not going to be moved no matter what comes against you. When Jesus, in his earthly ministry, called his disciples, he said, follow me, didn't he? And they left their nets, and Matthew left his tax table. They left their livelihoods, and they followed Jesus, the man Jesus, not really knowing who he was or what his plan was. They followed him. Now, no textbook, just living with Jesus, listening to him and watching him. He became their textbook. Now, I want you to be with me and place yourself right here in the Last Supper. Place yourself in the Last Supper with the disciples. And he comes in, and the disciples are arguing about who's the greatest and the positions they're going to have in this kingdom that they believe that's going to be coming. And they're arguing and back and forth, and Jesus comes in, and he just takes his robe off, and he puts that servant's, and he begins washing feet. That started that night of confusion, because they didn't understand that. They had no clue about that. And then, on top of this, he began to cause even more confusion in their minds because he told them he was going away. And where he was going, they couldn't go. Now imagine you're one of his disciples. You've left everything. And they're saying, we've left all to follow you. And now you say you're going away and we can't come with you? What now? And Jesus went on to explain that it would be better for them if he went away. And that he was sending another. One who was just like him, who would teach them, who would reveal things to them, who would lead them, comfort, and empower them. Only this one would do it from within them. Think about the confusion now. Have you ever heard of anything like that, Peter? And no longer would his disciples follow the man Jesus, but they would be led by Holy Spirit living within them. Paul speaks of this reality in Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Say that word. For me to live is Christ. I see an equation there. I see an equation. Christ equals me. Ooh, I get you hung a lot of places. Is anybody braiding a noose for me? Christ equals you. What's Christ mean? You know, it's a title. The Anointed One and His Anointing. Do we have any anointed folks here today? We have any folks that Holy Spirit is living in you? That's Christ. That's Christ. Maybe you want to change your name. Christ ought to be your middle name. You see, to really be a Christian means the Holy Spirit's in your life and active in your life. And a lot of people claim to be Christians when maybe not so. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Listen, this is not a feeling. This is way much more than a feeling. This is beyond feelings. This is a truth that Christ lives within you. You can't try to get this. You can't make this thing happen. It's a present reality. It is a gift of God. Now, religion and legalism are basically on the wrong side of the cross. They're still caught in that upper room confusion, separate from God, fearful. All those disciples leaving and going their 12 separate ways, each forming their own denomination, the original denominations, with their own ideas and pet doctrines. Hello, is that too close to home? Let's go back to Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ. It's I am, it's not I was. This is in a tense that I have to ask my wife what that tense is, but it is a perfect tense, which means there's an ongoing crucifixion. I am crucified. We're ongoing being crucified. We're ongoing dying to self and allowing Christ to live in us. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Not the old I. It's the new creation I. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's that new creation where all things become new. It means a species of being that never before existed. You're not merely a human being. You're a new creation. God Himself, the Trinity, has come in and take up residence within you. Do you understand this? That's who you are. But Christ liveth in me. The new I in Christ is you. Jesus is not just your roommate. No longer is it WWJD. Well, what would Jesus do? No, ask Him. He lives in you. He's not separate from you. You understand what I'm saying? It's no more, well, brother, you just got to try harder to be like Jesus. Folks, only Jesus can be Jesus. But He wants to be Jesus within you. Uniquely as you. I know you've heard this stuff before. Once again, that's what Sunday night services in a lot of places are all about. Brother, you go and try harder this week. I know you can do it. And the flesh loves that. Because the flesh wants to be challenged. But we're crucified with Him. We died to that mess. He fulfilled it. All those rules. True Christianity begins when Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. One of my favorite chapters in Scripture is Luke 15, where Jesus starts out eating with tax collectors. And when you ate with someone, you had a covenant with them. So there was like a meal covenant that was done with those tax collectors. And the Pharisees were there, and they were all gathered around. It was like a typical prayer meeting in a lot of churches, where just the ladies come and they're just gossiping. Well, look at him. Pray for Brother Wade. I saw him coming out of the... He had this thing that looked like a bottle, but it was in a wrap. I didn't know what it was, but we need to pray for him anyway. But Jesus starts telling these parables to the Pharisees. He tells the parable of the lost sheep, of the lost coin, and the lost son. And after every one, what he's doing is he's revealing the heart of God. That shepherd goes after that lost sheep. He leaves the 99, which is really sarcasm to the Pharisees. They're the righteous ones already. But he leaves them and he goes after the lost into the wilderness. And if you understand wilderness, you understand that that was a place of death. That was a place of separate. That was a place of being beyond. Remember the scapegoat in the sacrifices? It was turned into the wilderness to be destroyed. They felt that was a place of destruction. So the shepherd gives his own life. By him stepping into the wilderness, he says, my life is worth the life of that sheep. That's your Jesus. And he searched until he found it. Do you know, after Adam's sin, God pursued Adam with everything that's in him to the point where he said, I am not going to be God without my creation man. That's why he sent his son. That's the heart of the Father. You need to understand these things. You need to understand the Father's heart toward you. So what's coming won't move you. He promised to never leave you nor forsake you. You are joined to him. It's impossible for him to do that. There's an example I want to give you of an ancient parable. And the parable begins with a man who's sick and dying in bed of a disease. He's in bed. And this doctor comes in. And the doctor comes in and he takes that man's place. And he takes that disease upon himself. But the disease can't live within the doctor. And so the disease vanishes, and the doctor gets up, and when he gets up, the man gets up in him. And they are forever joined together. Folks, that's what happened when you're crucified with Christ. That's exactly what happened. Your salvation is not something or a thing that you have earned. Salvation is the person of Jesus Christ who has come into your life. Galatians 2 and 20 again. Continuing on, the life which I now live in the flesh. See, God is perfectly at home with flesh because he became flesh. He knows what it's like to become one of us. And it is impossible for a Christian to live in any other state of being other than in Christ. It's impossible. You can't leave him over here one day and say, I'm going to just go over here and you just stay over there, Jesus. No, it's impossible. You're joined together inseparably, seamlessly. He's in you 24/7. You worship together. You work together. You play together. You weep together. All of life is shared with and in him. And now, what Holy Spirit longs to do is teach us how to live love. And he's still got some work to do in me. Teaching me how to live, not just loved, but love. Because that's who he is. Galatians 2 and 20 again. I live by the faith of the Son of God. We live in his faith, not in our faith. I'm going to say that again. We live in his faith, not in our own faith. Now that negates any faith formulas that we've learned in the past or any kind of effort to work up faith on our part, because I can have faith in Jesus' faith. I can trust Jesus to have the faith I need. Even in the hallmark scripture of faith, Mark 11, 22 through 24, it says, have faith in God. But really, it's have God's faith. And his faith is in his purpose, and it's in you and in me. See, he's the vine, and we're the branches. All the sap comes from the vine into the branches. His life flows into us, and so does his faith. See, that ends all religious anxiety. How many of you have tried to work up faith for a certain event? Oh, praying in the Holy Ghost. Yes, I understand. But what we need to do is enter into his rest and instead say, thank you, Lord, for having faith to be you in me through anything and everything that I face. And thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be involved in what you're blessing today. Instead of asking him to bless what we want to do, we thank him for allowing us to participate in what he is already blessing. And you don't have to get a blessing because you're already blessed. When you put everything together that I've said already, you're blessed beyond measure. The joy of the Lord, we know, is our strength, but it's all about you. Zephaniah 3:17, one of my favorite scriptures in the Old Testament. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save and he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love and he will joy over thee with singing. Now imagine Jesus in his robe and you're standing here and he's twirling around you and dancing over you and singing over you. That's exactly what God thinks of you. That's it. That's Zephaniah 3:17. That's a Jewish celebration, a wedding celebration, where there's all the dancing in the circles and woo! That is Jesus rejoicing over you. How can you have any other image than one of knowing that Christ is in you when you begin to understand how God feels about you? It makes you change how you feel about yourself. I know people have said, you're no good, you'd be just like your grandpa, you'd be just like this. I understand all that nonsense. I understand how powerful those words were. But we're negating that stuff today. No more. You're no longer going to carry out of this place a victim mentality based upon what someone else has said about you that has been a lie from the pit of hell, that they may have not known what they were doing to you. Or maybe they did. Either way, it's not how Father thinks about you. That's not how you were created to be. None of that is true. You were created to be His object of love, His object of concern. You were created to be a container and expressor of Almighty God yourself, an expressor of His love, a demonstrator of His power. Somebody raise your hands. That's me. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Raise your hands. Say, that's me. I believe that's me. Well, you just tried me. Glory to God. You're rewriting my resume. Praise the Lord. Finally, Galatians 2:20, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I believe that's kind of a clumsy translation. There's other translations in different versions. One says, he is living and loving me today, giving himself for me now. Still another, he transmits himself over my situation all my life. And this is my favorite. He passes himself off as me. Here's my question today. Is everybody in Christ? Now I know, full fact, because I was raised this way too. I was raised from a religious environment. You heard some of the things that I said that, what was wrong with that? Well, it's pre-cross. You see, when you look at the Gospels, okay, you have the overlap in the Gospels of the Old Covenant and an overlap of the New, because Jesus is baptized in the Holy Spirit and he's demonstrating to us how to live a New Covenant life. So there's kind of an overlap of the Old and the New. The New Covenant comes in Acts chapter 2, where Holy Spirit is released into the earth. So we don't live in the Old, nor do we live in the overlap. We live in the reality of God's grace. You see, in the Old Covenant, it's all about the power of sin. When you touch a leper in the Old Covenant, you get leprosy. In the New Covenant, it's all about the grace of God. It's all about love and the grace of God. And you touch a leper in the New Covenant, and the leper gets healed. Which side of the cross you want to live on? Which side has the joy? Which side has the freedom? I'd like to have you raise your hands up right now, if you would. We're going to do an Ephesians 5 thing right here. It says, being filled with the Spirit. Being filled. We're just going to ask for a new infilling of Holy Spirit. Some of you have been filled with the Holy Spirit sometimes, maybe 50 or 60 years ago, but glory to God, it's being, continually being filled with the Spirit. Get into the spout where the glory comes out and allow Holy Spirit just to come and be reactivated again. A new dimension of life in the Holy Spirit today. So begin to pray right now in the Holy Ghost. Begin to receive more of Him right now. Glory to God. He can minister to you better than a man can. Father, erase every doubt today. Every doubt that the enemy has tried to implant in hearts and minds today. Release the truth of being in Christ today. A new dimension of life that's available to us. Do you know that God has never placed any limitations on what you can have or what you can do? The enemy is the only one, and yourself is the only one who's ever done that to you. You have unlimited potential. I don't care how old you are. I don't care. You can do all things. How? Through Christ who strengthens you, who lives within you. So today we make the declaration. Say this with me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but it is Christ who liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who passes himself off as me. Amen, 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 amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Pastor.
Later in the book of Galatians, Paul would write, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom I am crucified in the world and the world unto me. M. recognize, if we can ever gather the concept, Christ in us, and not that we're trying to somehow get our hands on something that's ethereal, that's way out there that we can never quite get our arms around. It's already in us. Let God arise. Let God arise. And what? His enemies be scattered. And only God knows what is coming in the days ahead. Only God knows that. But God's going to strengthen us that come what may, we're going to stand. And having done all to stand, How many of you expect to be standing when all this is said and done because you've got God in you? Come on, give Him praise today. We're going to be standing stronger than ever. How many of you want to be stronger than ever, than you've ever been? Father, we worship You today. We praise You and thank You today for Your great grace that is more than able. Thank You, God, that exceeding abundantly above all we can ask, think, or even imagine is at work in us. Thank You, God, that all things are possible today. And Father, I pray that You'll help us somehow by the anointing of Your Spirit to get past that victimization syndrome and to take on a victory stance. Hallelujah. Father, You and us, greater than anything that is in this world. Help, God, our eyes to be open today to recognize many more are they with us than they that be against us. God, open our spirits today to recognize greater is He that is in us than the one that is in the world. God, somehow help us to recognize how really, truly fantastic it is to have You within us, because that gives us the capacity to do all things. Hallelujah. God, we worship You. Give Him praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give Him praise. Come on, beloved. Lift your voices and give Him thanks. The richness of the Word today that's lifted to some great place, to a deeper level of appreciation for the goodness of Christ within. Sola gratia, by grace alone. Father, we worship You. Thank You for Your Word in us. Thank You for Your power ministering to us. Thank You, Lord, for how You are doing in us what only You are capable of doing. God, we worship You. God, we bless You. We magnify You. We glorify You. Father, we just are so appreciative of all You've done and all that You're doing, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You for that, Jesus. Thank You for that, Jesus.